Hello, 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 John Mason, how is everybody? Hope you're well. And once again, May 16th is the day to vote in the primary elections in Pennsylvania. So, whatever location you are, whether in Pennsylvania or Oregon or Alaska, Guam, Puerto Rico, wherever, get out there and vote so we can hold our elected officials accountable, like I am, since I am a committee person. It's what the public officials understand. We need to let them know that we're watching them, and whatever crap they hand us, we're not going to take. This morning, I was at the Sheet Metal Workers Hall on the South Columbus Boulevard in Philadelphia for the commemoration of Workers' Memorial Day. That is the day set aside to honor those workers who have lost their lives on the job, making a living, trying to earn money to take care of their families, and they didn't come home alive. And they were killed on the job in the most horrific ways, which I won't get into right now. And I remember back in the 70s, I was a naive kid. There were all of these right-wing radio ranters who condemned OSHA as some sort of incompetent Gestapo organization, destroying free enterprise, and needed to be reformed or destroyed. As an OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, was formed to protect workers from such abuse on the job that they lose their lives in avoidable accidents, that the company is too cheap to set up, that is too cheap to prevent. The company doesn't want to lose their profits on such things as safety equipment and warnings about toxic chemicals, that sort of, or goggles or other stuff, that sort of thing. The company won't bother to spend money on that. It hurts their profit margin, which is to them more important than the safety of their workers, the ones who brought them their profits. It wasn't for the workers, the corporations would be talking to themselves, would get nothing done. And there have been plenty of ways for workers to be injured or killed on the job. And with Ronald Reagan, who kept insisting, government isn't the solution, government is the problem, attempted to weaken all such organizations and agencies as OSHA. To those corporations, we, the working and low-income people of America, are expendable. They don't care about us. Yet they're the ones who donate millions of dollars to these candidates who do their bidding so as to stay in office. It also shows up in the current debate or argument or hissy fit, what have you, on raising the federal debt ceiling limit. We in the United States and Denmark are the only countries in the world that have a debt ceiling. Under Trump, you know that guy. Under Trump, the Republicans had no trouble raising the debt ceiling three times. But Joe Biden, a Democrat, is in the White House, and then they start worrying about the deficit, which they created with their tax breaks for corporations and billionaires, leaving the working people and low-income people of America holding the bag to pay the taxes. And the Republicans, particularly the MAGA element, who dominate Kevin McCarthy, are demanding severe cuts in such important programs as Medicare and Social Security and veterans benefits. Full disclosure, I myself do take Medicare and Social Security and VA benefits. And they give us lectures about the work ethic, that we need to put in more hours of work. Excuse me, but I'm in my 60s. I've had health problems. How much work can you get out of me? Or anybody who's old and infirm? And particularly the military veterans, who in so many cases got out to the front lines and risked their lives for this government, who all of a sudden doesn't give a damn about them. Oh, sure, they commemorate them in a political campaign to show their patriotism, but let them have decent benefits? No way. I'm hoping that the Senate, with this Democratic majority, amends the hell out of this bill so as to make it a clean bill for President Biden to sign. Yes, Joe Biden is definitely the president, thank God. And raise the debt ceiling so that the United States government doesn't default on its debts. And Kevin McCarthy, in an analogy which I think is rather condescending, compares it to running up debt on a credit card. Excuse me, but that's not a good analogy. The federal government has so many obligations, like diplomatic services, the military, thank you, and the various agencies, and such programs as I mentioned, Social Security, Medicare, and veterans. A family, your basic family does not, however you want to describe a basic family. Let's face it, Americans, to the Republicans and the corporations, and especially the corporate Democrats, And the billionaire class, we're expendable. They want us fighting against each other for scraps they condescend to drop to the table so we can fight over them. It's like the Hunger Games. They want us fighting over what scraps of food they decide to throw at us. Like we're dogs. So, if they treat us as dogs, fine. We'll sink our teeth into them and bite them and stay on them. At least give them a good growl so that they'll know we're not going to take their crap. And voting is the opportunity that we have to express ourselves at the ballot box. And there's also public demonstrations. And it's getting pretty, And Republican-dominated state governments are cracking down on any effort to for people to peacefully express their opinions to their elected representatives, such as with the Tennessee Three, supporting young people who want to grow up to graduate from high school and not be killed by gunfire. And the expulsion efforts at the three who stood up with them. And don't tell me racism doesn't factor into it. Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, two African-American men, were voted out of the Tennessee State Legislature. The one white woman, Gloria Johnson, held on to her seat by one vote. But their constituents voted them back into the chamber, pending special elections, which I believe they'll comfortably win re-election in. And there's been laws that criminalize peaceful public demonstrations, like these laws that give motorists permission to run over peaceful demonstrators in case they feel threatened by these peaceful demonstrators. They're declaring war on us, Americans. And with examples in Florida and all over the country, they're at war with the arts, like writing and books and the visual arts. Like, there was this one case of a college in Florida where they were getting ready to discuss, where a class was getting ready to discuss African-American history. But one person, I don't know if the person was a student or not, the right wing tends to plant people so as to cause trouble, complained about it under the Stop Woke Act and shut it down. But what I hear from my friend down in Orlando, thank you, you know who you are, there is fighting back. And it pleases me that there is. You don't hear a lot about it in the commercial news media, but it's there. I'll do my best to let you know what's happening. Do they actually think our enemies that we're just going to take this lying down, that we'll roll over and play dead for them? Ain't happening. Ain't happening. We'll stand up for ourselves. Having been a victim of bullying as a kid, I always try to see some opportunity to resist these oppressions. And let's fight back. Let's not turn the other cheek. Let's assert our rights as Americans, as human beings. Remember, we have a long lineage in this country of freedom fighters, dating back to the abolitionists, the labor organizers of all through our history. That's a particular interesting one for me. And the civil rights activists, and the feminists, and the LGBTQ activists, and the activists for Hispanic Americans and Native Americans and Asian Americans. One fight for freedom inspires other fights for freedom. We can't let our ancestors down. We're better than that. Once we stand up to these idiots, we'll beat them and reclaim our rights under the Constitution. Oh, and here's another fun fact. April has been designated as Autism Awareness Month. And I have a rooting interest in that since I myself am on the spectrum. I guess you can tell by my speaking. And I'm going to be attending a teach-in tomorrow at Yesha Ministries Ballroom in South Philadelphia. And various agencies will have their pamphlets out. And it just, and all those on the spectrum, you can work around this. So many great people have been on the spectrum. And don't doubt you're one of them. They misunderstand you, but don't worry. There are people who will love you. There's always going to be people who love you and know your value as a person. Okay, then I am all talked out for now. Now, advertisements. My novel, Soldier of the Cross, is available on Amazon.com. It's the story of David Lucas, a man who is young manhood in the early 60s, is a whore chaser and drunk and school bully, gets in trouble in the army, then becomes a born-again Christian, and is a zealot and a fanatic, trying to be a good Christian man, but goes about the wrong way, and it lands him into trouble. Please look it up, and please purchase a copy. Soldier of the Cross on Amazon.com. And also, Hemporific is a lovely little CBD product store located on Snyder Avenue near 15th Street in South Philadelphia. There you'll find some of the finest cannabis-infused products. Flower and gummies and candies and drinks and teas and lip balm and hand sanitizer and dog treats. Dog treats, yep. Look them up, HemporificLLC.com. And also, Michelle Snow, my beloved career and business coach. Michelle is excellent in helping you as you develop your professional career and small business. Let you know what you're doing right, where you need work, and help you network with other up-and-coming professionals. Please, please look her up. GrowWithSnow.com. Okay? Alrighty then. Okay? That's our mission, and let's decide to accept it. Have a good weekend. Shabbat Shalom. Bye.